68-66. Roberson gets it into Fisher. Davis throws it up three-quarters court. Good if it goes. Off the glass. No good. And in their first ever NCAA tournament game, the Northwestern Wildcats are moving on in the big dance.
What a game yesterday. The Cats move on. They take on Gonzaga tomorrow.
Unbelievable.
On the phone with us, he is the voice of the Cats right here on 720 WGN. It's Dave Ennett. Mr. Ennett.
Mr. McMurray.
I want to apologize for sending you so many text messages because I was so excited. We were watching the game right next door at Howells and Hood, and the bar was packed. People screaming, erupting with cheers after Northwestern. What was the foul? Tell me about the foul where Vandy was up, and it was the guard. Fisher Davis was his name, right?
Right, right. Who, by the way, they're not up at that point in the game if he doesn't go off in the second half. And he was hitting some unbelievable shots.
Oh, yeah, he went on a run.
But they're up, and at that point, you know, we're watching Bryant McIntosh has the ball, the Wildcats' leading scorer. And you know, you're thinking at that point, all right, let's see if they can get some points here and go back in front. You're down by a point. You have less than a half minute to go, about 15 seconds or so. And all of a sudden, Fisher Davis fouls him almost 94 feet from the basket. And it's like, why would you do that? But apparently he thought that they were down by one, not ahead by one. And so that sent McIntosh, who happens to be Northwestern's best free throw shooter, to the line, and he sank two free throws. Game still wasn't over, but that put Northwestern ahead for good. So that's one of those that, unfortunately, I think it's going to stay with that young guy for a while.
Yeah, imagine how he feels today.
Oh.
I keep thinking about that poor kid. Like, he didn't know, and he did it. Now they lost.
And Jane, he acknowledged that. You know, he just thought.
He said it after the game.
He thought his coach was telling him to foul, and it was just one of those moments where, and that I think is kind of speaks to what the NCAA tournament is. It's such a bright spotlight, and things are happening so quickly, and you have to make split-second decisions. And he made a bad decision under duress, and it cost his team. Now, I have to tell you, and I just mentioned this to somebody over at the arena, I never felt, and John Williams pointed out to me yesterday, I've done 600 or so of these games over the years, I've never felt that they were going to lose the game, even when they were down by one.
Really?
I thought, hey, I just had a feeling, Pete, I can't explain it, but I had a feeling that McIntosh was going to make a play, and then they were going to make a stop at the other end and win the game.
But they were leading pretty much throughout the game, weren't they?
They were leading. They were leading by as many as 15.
Yeah, they were up by 15. I turned to my brother Johnny and I said, Vandy's going to go on a run. You got to, of course, they are before the end of the game. And then, oh my God, the second half!
Right.
Wow.
Well, you know, Northwestern got up by 15, and that's when the run started for Vanderbilt. And they're a good team with some great shooters. And they started making some unbelievable shots, led by Fisher Davis, and they got themselves back in the game. But they didn't take the lead till about 90 seconds to go. But they never got up by more than one, and so they kept the game within reach.
That's why you had that good feeling. Now, you were there, and imagine I was watching on TV with Pete next door and seeing the sea of purple in that arena. What do you think it was like for the players and the coaches to come out and just see all of that support?
Oh, I know. They were overwhelmed by it. I mean, Chris even has mentioned he got a little emotional when he came out because I don't think, even though they were hoping, obviously, that there would be a great turnout, I don't think anybody had any idea that the turnout was going to be that large and they were going to get that much support. We played in Washington last week in the Big Ten tournament, and there was a relatively small Northwestern rooting section by comparison. I mean, it doesn't even come close. And it could be that people were waiting they were saving their money to travel to the NCAA tournament rather than go to the Big Ten tournament in D.C.
Right.
But, I mean, it wasn't just the section which you saw on television behind the bench, but it was all throughout the arena. There were pockets of purple fans all over the place.
Fantastic.
And if you walk around the streets of Salt Lake City, they're all over the place. It's really pretty remarkable.
We're talking with Dave Ennett. Now, I've filled in for Steve Cochran many times, and we've had Coach Collins on. You know that I love Coach Collins, but what a great story. Here's a guy that comes back to his hometown, takes a program that was basically in the toilet, turns it around in 4 years, their first tournament appearance ever in the history of the school. They win their first game. Now they go on to hopefully upset the number one seed tomorrow. What are our chances
what
tomorrow?
What do they have to do?
Well, Gonzaga is really good. That's the first thing. They're not a number one seed by accident. And I was looking at some of the numbers since 1985, guys. There have been five number eight seeds that have gotten to the Final Four.
Okay.
There have been three that have gotten to the finals. There's been one that won the whole thing, and that was back in 85. That was Villanova and their storied championship, which happens to be the current defending national champs. I guess that underscores the fact that it doesn't happen very often. But the last time Gonzaga was a number one seed, the only other time Gonzaga was a number one seed was in 2013. They were the number one seed in the West Regional. They played here in Salt Lake City. They beat the 16th seed, Southern, in the first round, and then they lost to the 9th seed, Wichita State, in the second round. Now, I don't know. I was trying to figure this out. I don't know if that's a good thing for Northwestern or not, because, first of all, I think this Gonzaga team is probably the best one they've had.
They're so good.
They are really good. They were in the Sweet 16 last year. They played in Chicago at the United Center. 2 years ago, they were in the Elite Eight. So, I mean, this is a team which has a lot of tournament experience. They go every year.
Yep.
They win their conference every year. But here's the way I look at it. Northwestern, just when people thought maybe they'd just be happy to be here and whatever happens against Vanderbilt is kind of irrelevant,
right?
They didn't look at it that way. And they went out and beat Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt's a good team. I mean, they've lost 14 more games than Gonzaga has, but they're still a good team. But I think that they're going out there tomorrow thinking, why can't we do it again? And this is a team which beat a very good Dayton team at the United Center back in December, that beat a good Wake Forest team, big Ten wins over teams like Wisconsin and Michigan, which is probably the hottest team going right now, and Maryland. So it's not like they've been playing weak teams along the way. They've played good teams, and they've beaten some good teams. So, you know, I think this is going to be a closer game than a lot of people expect. Do they have to play a perfect game? Probably. And do they need Gonzaga to play a bad game?
Yep.
That's also probably part of the equation.
Well, you got to set the tone right away. I don't know how you do that. I'm sure that's what Coach Collins is figuring out now. And you're probably going out for St. Patrick's Day tonight, taking your mind off things in Salt Lake City.
Oh, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I'm in here. I went over to the arena. I'm back in my hotel room prepping and watching games. And that's going to be my plan for this evening.
I mean, working with you, you got me excited about Northwestern, of course, over the years. And I am just a big fan because, of course, you know, I've been to football games, basketball games. This year is so much fun, but it's fun to see my son, Charlie, watch these games. He's like, Dad, Northwestern's playing tomorrow. What time is it? 4 o'clock? I think it's a 4 o'clock start.
Tip is at 4:15 Central.
4:15. He's like, Dad, we got to get in front of a TV. I'm like, I'm all for it, man.
Yeah, everyone's going to be in front of the TV tomorrow.
God, it's just.
Well, you know, the cool thing for me, Pete and Jane, is that all these years I've been home watching the NCAA tournament, except for the occasional year where it was in Chicago. And I've always looked at, you know, all my colleagues who call NCAA basketball going to the tournament and always thinking, boy, wouldn't it be cool to do that someday?
Right.
And now that I'm finally here, I just kind of want to enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I probably, like the players, I'd like it to last a little longer because this is fun.
Sure. And how do you pack for something like this? Because you could have been one and done, but you're here. You have to bring extra clothes just in case.
Pack optimistic.
I'm going to pack for 4 days. Right.
Well, it was the second week in a row. Second week in a row we did this because last week we left on Tuesday for Washington,
yep,
knowing that if they went all the way, that we would play on Sunday.
Right.
And so I packed for Tuesday through Sunday. Well, I didn't need all of those clothes, but I needed a fair amount because we didn't come home till late Saturday night, played in the semifinals. Well, this week, same deal. We left on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're coming home till Sunday, win or lose tomorrow. So I have to tell you, I didn't know it was going to be 75 degrees here. So I didn't bring shorts. I brought two golf shirts. I could use another golf shirt. So
hey, Dave, they've got stores in Salt Lake City.
Nope, they're all closed up.
They do, actually. There's a nice mall about a block away. Then I have to wander up there later.
I just want you to know.
Dave, I'm so excited for you. I'm excited for Northwestern. I'm excited for this radio station. It's just fun. It's a fun story. It really is.
Well, it is. It is, and it's cool to see what the reaction nationally has been.
Sure.
The only thing I regret is having followed some of the coverage online, that I'm not in Chicago to see what's going on there, because from what I understand, the coverage there has been off the charts.
Oh, it's been great. It has. Dave Ennett, that's tomorrow.
Terrific.
What time's pregame start? If the game starts at 4?
Pregame is at 3:45 Central Time.
3:45. Dave,
tune in.
Have a great weekend. Bring home a win.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, see you, buddy. Dave Ennett, he is just the absolute best. I am so pumped for this game tomorrow.
I'm excited for the game, too. And here's me. It's a local team. I'm the biggest cheerleader. Like, they're in it. I'm in. Let's cheer.
And Creighton just got upset. Shoot, there goes my bracket. I'm done.
You're done.
You're not done yet.
I'm done. I'm done.
Have some faith.
Creighton just got upset. I got a notice on my phone as soon as he hung up. So they got beat by Rhode Island?
Yep, 84-72.
Oh, jeez.
So it's good that our guys are getting a day's rest, right?
It is. Yeah, it is.
That's normal.
Because their legs need the rest.
You know what? Dave's far too modest. You know, when he talks about calling games in the NCAA tournament. You know, I had a chance to do that when I was in San Diego and won the first game, which we never expected to do, and the whole packing thing. And, you know, I had nothing really invested. It was my first year in San Diego. Think about all the games Dave has called
over the years.
And think about how many of the teams were just god awful.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, he's so right about the fact that, you know, you see all these teams in the Big Ten, you know, Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, Ohio State, they go to the tournament seemingly every single year. And poor Dave's got to sit home and watch it on TV. Not that there's anything wrong with that kind of thing, but, you know, it's never usually about the broadcaster. They're the first people to tell you that it's about the team and not about them.
Yep.
But you can't help but be happy for a guy who went to Northwestern, who's covered so many of these awful games, and is now getting the chance to call his alma mater.
He's
forget
so
about
pumped.
The fact that it's, you know, it's his job on the radio station, but it's where he went to school.
He is so pumped.
I think you should just go to the store and buy some shorts.
I filled in for Cochran, and that was his biggest worry. He's like, I don't know what to pack. I'm going to be gone for 4 days.
It's a tough deal. It's a tough deal because you have to, like you said, you have to pack optimistically.
You do what Jane does. You bring everything.
Right.
That's how it works. All right.
Check your bag.